The Gemara in the first Perek in Maseches Rosh Hashanah presents a Machlokes HaTanaim and a Machlokes HaMaroim HaTepaskin regarding all of the Yom Tovim in Megillas Tainus, whether we still continue to observe them or not. During the period of the second Beis HaMikdash, they had a lot of Yom Tovim. So we Paskin, the Maskonos HaGemara is that all of the Yom Tovim in Megillas Tainus were batlu, with the two exceptions of Chanukah and Purim. Now the Tesvus has 2 days, Tesvus and Menachos, which is in Tibet, is printed on the side of the Dach and Menachos, has a Machlokes Balei HaTesvus regarding this Gemara, that it says that Chanukah and Purim will be batlu, as opposed to all the other Yom Tovim. What about Lefneihem or Leachreihem? The Gemara says in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the Gemara quotes the Brisim in Megillas Tainus, that all of these Yom Tovim, not only was there a Nisa Hesped with Tainus on the day itself, a lot of them had a Nisa Hesped of the Tainus on the day before and the day after as well. So the question is, when we say the Chanukah and Purim were loy batlu, what about the day before Chanukah and the day before Purim and the day after Chanukah and Purim? Do you say that that's also part of Chanukah and Purim, that that's loy batlu also? Or do you say, no, that's like the Shai Yom Tovim Shevim Megillas Tainus, that all the other Yom Tovim were batlu. So Lefneim Lachreim of Chanukah and Purim were also batlu. So this is a Machlekes HaRishon. So the Baal HaMo'or in Maseches Megillah on the bottom of the rear poses Akasha. How can we have the institution? How do we have the practice of Tainus Esther? The Rishonim have a problem about this. What's going on with this Tainus Esther? Tainus Esther Zachmamish a day before Purim? So if one should assume that not only was Purim Loi Batlu, but Lefnei Melachem was also Loi Batlu, our practice is that we hold that Lefnei Melachem and Chanukah Purim was Batlu. We hold that it was both. Only Chanukah and Purim Gufa, we still observe. But the day before, the day after, you do say, you do have Hesed the times. But there was a big group of Rishonim who held otherwise. They held that even the name Lachrem of Chanukah and Purim have the status of still have this, maintain the status of Megillas Tainus. That there's an Issa Hesed the times. So how do we all have the practice to fast? And here the Notum and Hogan, everybody had a widespread practice. Everybody had the practice of fasting on Megillas on Tainus Hesed. That's the Kash. So in the Sefer HaEshkol, by the Ravid, there were three Ravids. That's how they write in the history books. There was the Ravid, the Ruav Bezin, who wrote the Sefer HaEshkol, and then he had a son-in-law who was known as the Ravid, the Baal HaSogis, and then there was another Ravid who wrote a history book who wasn't a Talmud, the Sefer HaKabbalah, written by the Ravid. So you have to be careful not to confuse the one Ravid with the other. Sometimes the Rishonim point out that theory, a friend of Avakasha's theory, here the Ravid says one way, here the Ravid says another way. The answer is that sometimes it's a different Ravid. If it's the same Ravid, then you have to work on the theory. But if it's a different person, so it's not necessarily Akasha. So in the Sefer HaEshkol, there are two versions of the Eshkol. There are two different manuscripts, a Shaila, which it's not a Shaila. We know which is the authentic, which is the fake. Even the one that's not authentic, so there was a mistake in identifying it. It may have been written by somebody else. It's not really the Eshkol. But it's still from some bona fide Rishon who quotes a lot of Tshuva Saganim, and so no one ever said that it was a forgery. They just, the one who published the second edition of the Ravid claims that Albeck claims that Auerbach's Sefer HaEshkol is not a forgery, but it's a misidentification. So in the first edition of the Auerbach's Sefer HaEshkol, he deals with this kasha, so he gives this official carrots that Tainus Esther is a different kind of a Tainus. It's not a Tainus Shalavelis, it's not a Tainus of an Ace Tzora so much, it's really a Tainus Shal Simcha, that just like in the days of Mordechai Esther, when he saw when Mispalat HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and they fasted and their prayers were answered, so too today, Zecher, to the fact that they fasted and their prayers were answered, so we fast today also, so it's really a Tainus Shal Simcha. We still say, Aneinu B'yom sometimes in Kibitzer Gedor HaNafna, would still be a Tzorah, but it's a Tainus Shal Simcha in the sense that we cry out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that just like He helped us then, so help us out today as well. So the Sefer HaEshkol says that the only time you're not allowed to fast the day before the day after the Yom Tovim Megillas Tainus, that's if it's a Tainus Shal that starts from Tzar or a Tainus that starts from Avelus, but a Tainus that starts from Simcha, that's permissible to have on Lefnei Melachrem. So that's what he says is the justification, is the explanation for fasting Tainus Esther, even though it's the day before Purim. Based on that suggestion, Rav Soloveitchik thought that even though it says in the Achronim, the Mishnah Berurah quotes this, that on the other Taneisim, let's say on the Sarah B'Tavis and some Gedalia and Shavasa B'Tamuz, the proper thing is to be machmir, not to take a shower, not to wear shoes and so on, to observe the Yisrael Tashma Shamit and everything, not to take a haircut and so on, to observe Mikta's Nihu Gavelus, but nonetheless, this, none of this would apply on Tainus Esther, because Tainus Esther wasn't initially instituted as a Tainus Shal Avelus, otherwise a Tainus Shal Simcha. And since it's not rooted in an Avelus, they wouldn't have any of these Chumras. In fact, it could well be that there may be a Chumra that would stem from this also, not just a Kula, like Rav Soloveitchik suggested, namely regarding Ketanim. We have a Mishnah in the end of Yuma that says that a Kodin Shehigiv Achinoch has to fast Misanim Lashores 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, if the child is healthy. In America, usually all the kids are very overhealthy. My children are very healthy. So 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, they're supposed to fast the whole thing. 2 years before, 2 years before Bar Mitzvah, if they're healthy enough, they're supposed to fast Misanim Lashores. You have to fast part of the day. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes that none of this applies to Tisha B'Av to the other Tanis. Only on Yom Kippur. I understand it because Yom Kippur is the rice and everything is the Rabbanon and what's the Hezbrah Dover. So the Shagasaryeh, Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva. When he quotes the Shagasaryeh, he disagrees. He gives a different shot. But he quotes the Shagasaryeh, says that the reason why is because we pass in La'alocha that there's no chinoch and avelos. There is a machlekes ha-ga'onim and a machlekes ha-rishonim, how to understand the Gemara in the third perik in Moikot, in perik Elam Begalf. The Gemara in the beginning talks about the ketanim observing avelos. That's a little unclear what it says. So in Shulchan Aruch, we pass in La'alocha, in Kudus HaKesef, pass in La'alocha there, that we pass in that there's no chinoch and avelos at all. That's a child is just the week before his bar mitzvah. And a father dies, or a brother dies, or something like that, so then he doesn't observe Avelus at all. He doesn't want that. If he's all broken up and he's just crying his heart out, okay? So let him observe Avelus if he wants to. But we don't require of the child. We don't require of the child that he should observe Avelus. Kriya, yes, and Avelus, no. There is Chinuch and Kriya al-Pidin, but there's no Chinuch and Avelus. So the Shagasai says, and in his opinion, that's the reason why there's no Chinuch for Ketanim to fast on Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tevis, and Tzom Gedali, because all of these are Tanesim Shal Avelus. And there's no chinuch and avelus, so they don't have to fast. What about Tainus Esther? So if one should assume that Tainus Esther is really a Tainus Shal Simcha, it's not a Tainus Shal Avelus, so perhaps one should say that the Ketanim should fast, because the Hezba that the Shagasari gave to Tisha B'Av wouldn't apply over here. In fact, some have pointed out that in the Slichas that we said this morning, it says there, based on the Medrash Rabbah, that when they were fasting the 3 days, when they were afraid and they were fasting 3 days, as it says in Megillas Esther, so the Tinoikas were also fasting. The little children, Tinoikas usually means before Bar Mitzvah. And Haman came to the yeshiva and he said he's going to kill all the Tinoikas out, and they were all fasting, and then the Rabbani Shalom heard their prayers, and he got up from the Kisei Adin and went to the Kisei Rachman, and then he ripped up the whole Zaydin. That's what it said in the Slichas this morning. So all Arichas from the Medrash Rabbah. Since it says that the Tinoikas were fasting, so maybe our fast is a zecha to the fasting that they had, so maybe we should be dafka see to it that the children, even before Bar Mitzvah, should fast.
You said the only time we
I don't know who says you can't have any other days for national tragedies. It's our practice today. Our practice today, we say in the kinnis on Tishba, we're not interested in making any more. We have enough days for a national tragedy, but we have quite a few. We have quite a few. But why should we assume it's only Tishba? I don't think so. They're all out of our bailus for the Chudim Beis HaMikdash. Regarding the Ksivas HaMegillah, the Gemara says that b'diyevet, if you have a Megillah, people say you have a Kosher Megillah, you have a Kosher, it's very hard not to have a Kosher Megillah. The Gemara says that if the robe of the Megillah is written and Miyot is missing, that's Kosher. So what do people mean when they say, do you have a Kosher Megillah? So the Pashto says that that's only b'diyevet. When the Gemara says that if robe of the Megillah is written, you can rely on Ruba Kukuloi, so that's only b'diyevet, but l'hatchilu, the proper thing is to lay from a Kosher Megillah, means not to rely on Ruba Kukuloi. That's how it says in Hilchos Pesach, that if you drink, the Gemara says in Pesach, if you drink Rosh Kais, of each of the Arba Kaises that you eat, say it's on the Shulchan Aruch, the Nisei Kalim quote from the Bach, that that's only b'diyevet. L'hatchilu, you should really drink Kol HaKos. And how did the Bach know that that's so? Where's the Mokka for the Bach? So the Mokka is the Mishnah in the Gemara in Chuvah, in the beginning of the second parak, that when you shech, so the din is that by your oif you have to shech simon echod, either kona or the reishit, and by then you have to shech both simon and the kona and the reishit. What if you only shech roif? So the Mishnah says that the diyevet is good. So the Gemara says on that Mishnah, on the first piece of the Gemara, in the second parak of Chulin, that that's only the diyevet. But l'chatchila, the proper thing is that you should shech kola simon. And according to those who hold that Shechita, the Leiv Aryeh writes in the Sefer Anchumen, and Leiv Aryeh is a Chibur Anchumen, a classic Anchumen. So the Leiv Aryeh writes over there, there's a Machlokes Rashi in Tosfos, whether that L'chatchila Teshech Kol HaSimen is Deraisa or Derabbanan. So he explains that if one should assume that Shechita is a mitzvah, there's a Machlokes whether Shechita is a mitzvah, Shechita is a matir. So he says if Shechita is a matir, then Tosfos writes in the end of Nida that it doesn't make sense to have a L'chatchila Deraisa and a matir. Whatever is good for the other is good L'chatchila. It's only a matir, it's not a mitzvah anyway, but if you have a mitzvah there, I said, then you can discuss a lachatchila and b'riyadah. Lachatchila, the mitzvah b'shalimusa is to do it like this. And b'riyadah, you will only fulfill the mitzvah shalom b'shalimusa if you do it with less. But Leiv Aryeh says he thinks that that's the whole machlokes Rashi and Tosfos, whether shechita is a mitzvah, shechita is a matir. But if one would have held that shechita is a mitzvah, then ruba kekula would only be b'riyadah, and everyone would agree that lachatchila, one fulfills the mitzvah b'shalimusa by doing kuloi. So that's what the Bach says, that by Abba Tosfos, when we apply Ruba Kukula, that's only the Yedah. The Mitzvah B'Shalim Musa requires that you should really have all. But the Pashtus here also is that when you read the Megillah, the Gemara says even though it's missing Miut of the Megillah, you can rely on Ruba Kukula, that's only the Yedah. But Lachatchila, you should really have Kula. It should be Michtav Kula, and it should be Kula Mitech Haksav. Let's say the Mishnah Brura says, let's say the Balkari is reading the Megillah, and then they start clapping Haman, and I missed a few words. If you have a Chumash in front of you, so you can fill in the missing words by reading it from the Chumash. You can't wait till the end of the whole Kriyas HaMegillah and then say, just say Haman 85 times to make up all the times that you missed Haman. It has to be Akar L'Mafreya Lo Yotza. The Mishnah says in the beginning of the second paragraph of Megillah, you have to lean everything in order. So that's I heard from the Balkari till this word, and then it was noisy, so I should quickly say from that word on until I'm up to where the Balkari is, and then listen to the Balkari. As long as I'm only reading a miut from the So in the book of Chumash. Yeah. So lechatchila, if a person has a Megillah that's written on a klach, so then he will fulfill a mitzvah more mehuderes if he has a Chumash in front of him, a printed Chumash, which is not does not have a kedushas kisvei hakodesh on it. So b'diyavad he will be yotzei. What the Mishnah Berurah is saying is b'diyavad he will be yotzei, because the rov was mitach haksav and the miut was balpeh. When you read from a printed Chumash, that's called balpeh. Anything that's not from kedushas kisvei hakodesh is called balpeh. But if you have a klaf in front of you, so then you even fulfill the mitzvah b'shlei musa. You fulfill the hidur by having everything mitech haksav. The only thing is that if a person wants to hold a megillah with a klaf in his hand, so the Mishnah Berurah writes in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah. He doesn't quote it here in Hilchas Purim. That's why people don't remember it. But he writes in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah that it's forbidden to touch Kisvei HaKodesh with your bare hands. So if a person wants to touch Nevi'im HaKesuvim with his bare hands, we have a kula. There are more there in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah has a kula. If you wash Netilas Yadayim before, if you wash with a cup Netilas Yadayim, B'li Bracha before, then you're permitted to touch Nevi'im HaKesuvim. Sefer Torah not. We're not makeup by Sefer Torah. It's based on a fake seker sort of. There's one opinion that the Beis Yosef quotes, that the Gemara on the last half in Megillah that says, Oichas Sefer Torah Orum, Nigbar Orum, that it's forbidden to touch a Sefer Torah with your bare hands, That prohibition only applies to Sefer Torah. That's the Lashon HaGemara. Oichas Sefer Raparnach. Raparnach has that memory. Oichas Sefer Torah Orum will be Nigbar Orum. He will be punished. Gemara says, Orum Salkadaitach, what the Chavik HaDish is going to bury him without Tachrichim. Ela Orum Yoisa Mitzvah. That he doesn't get the reward for learning. Look, he's holding on to the Sefer Torah with his bare hands, and he learned a lot, so he won't get the reward from learning because he was doing an Avera, B'Shas Maisa, by touching the cloth with his bare hands. So there's one opinion that prohibition only applies to Sefer Torah, doesn't extend to Nevi'im HaKesuvim at all. And then the Shulchan Aruch, we say, we don't follow that opinion. We pass that it even applies to Nevi'im HaKesuvim. But there's one opinion in the Mordechai Masechet Shabbos, in the first parak, Tosfos does not hold like that. But the Mordechai Farim, says Tosfos Akash, in the end of the first parak on Shabbos, that if you wash until it's a diamond advance, then it is permissible to touch even in Sefer Torah with your bare hands. So for the Sefer Torah, we don't rely on that kula, because most of the Poskim disagree with the Mordechai. But with respect to touching the Nevi'im HaKesuvim with your bare hands, then we do rely on it, because then it's like a sex faker. Maybe the din is that it's tamru to touch the Nevi'im HaKesuvim with your bare hands. And even though we're machmer that not, maybe the din is like the Mordechai, that if one washes and fills a diamond in it, it's mutter. So if whoever, the Balkari, let's say on Purim night, is going to touch the cloth, has to wash and fills a diamond before with a cup, the leaf bracha. So if one wants to have this hidur of reading a look, of looking into the Megillah in front of him, as opposed to looking into a printed Chumash, wants to look into a kosher Megillah, in order that if he misses something from the Balkari, he'll have everything, he'll have 100% in Teh HaKsav, so then he has to observe this, he has to observe the proper dinim of washing the Tivus Adayim in advance. Also it says in Shulchan Aruch, a meaning from the Gaonim, that because Megillas Esther was Nikris Igeres, so that's why instead of holding the Megillas Esther like we hold the Sefer Torah, it's all rolled up on the right side and the left side, and you lay what's in the middle, and that's how we hold the Nevi'im and the other Ksuvim, but Megillas Esther, we have a meaning that we fold it all like a letter, Nikris Igeres, to demonstrate that it's Nikris Igeres. It says that meaning only applies to the Megillah that the Baal Kori leans from. When a private person is reading along, looking into his Megillah, he doesn't have to fold the whole thing. He just folds it like a normal Megillah, rolled up on the right and the left, and he reads what's in the middle. Regarding...
You have it all written in Megillah, but you don't read it from Megillah, that worse than not at all?
No, same thing. As long as you read Rov, as long as the Baal Kori reads Rov of the words in the Megillah from the cloth, even if the miyut of the words he's reciting Baal Peh, that's acceptable b'diyevet. L'chatchila, for a mitzvah more mehuderes, he should have everything with Tehach Sav, not to rely on Ruba Pikulim.
I think you're looking at a word, but you're not really like that's by 10 Sav, which is they're not looking at the right one. Even
though you're
not
looking at the
different
ones. No good, yeah. That's
b'diyevet.
Yeah, it's a
b'diyevet.
I think so. I think it's based on that Gemara and Chula. The beginning of the second paragraph. That's true. That's 2 days in the Mechaber. 2 days in the Mechaber. 1 day in the Mechaber is that every Revius in the Kos is considered another Kos. So if you drink all Revius, so you drank the whole Kos. And usually I think people are medactic. They get a cup that just has slightly more than Revius, and then they drink the whole Revius. There's a famous issue as to how to write the Aseret B'nei Haman. The Talmud Yerushalmi says that you have to have Ish, Bereish, Dapo, Chamesh Meyos Ish, Reis, Parshandos, and so on. You have to have Ish, Bereish, Dapo, and you have to have Aseret, the Sof Dapo. So the way it's usually assumed is that you have a Dapo means a column. Megillah has a lot of columns, like the Sefer Torah has. So you have the word Ish on top of the column, and then you have all the Aseret B'nei Haman, and then you have Vaizosto, and then it says Aseret. That's on the bottom of the column. Then the next column begins with the word B'nei Haman, then Hamdos, and so on. Yeah, the only question is that this is how many lines? 11 lines. Aseret B'nei Haman is 10 lines, and then Ish is the 11th line, so this is 11 lines. The rest of the Megillah is much more than 11 lines. The rest of the Megillah is 25 lines. So what do you do with the missing lines? So there are different practices. So usually what you do is you write these in big letters. The whole Aseret B'nei Haman is written in giant letters. And then you leave big empty spaces in between one line and the other. So this raises an issue. First of all, you leave empty spaces in between. That's like adding on psuchas that didn't belong. The thing is that if you're supposed to make a psucha and you wrote to the end of the line and there's no psucha, means that you need that you leave empty space enough to write five letters. So you didn't leave any empty space, you have to leave a line blank. So what do you put in extra psucha? You put blank lines in between each one of the Aseret B'nei Haman. It doesn't possible for the Eved, the Megillas Esther. If you have a Sefer Torah, it'll possible for the Eved. The Megillas Esther, I think, I don't remember. Does it become Nifsal for the Eved if you put psuchas that didn't belong? I'm not sure. But L'chatchila, for sure, it's not right to do it. And then the other question that the Poskim raised is, why do you write all the Aseret B'nei Haman in big letters? The Masorah does not tell us that these are supposed to be big letters. The Vav or Vaizasa is supposed to be a big letter. And some of the others, Parmashto, the Shin and the Top are small, and Parshandasa is a small top. But we don't have such a tradition that all the letters are supposed to be giant letters. No, it's supposed to be regular sized letters. So what do we make such big letters for? That's why the Vilna Gaon said that the whole thing is a mistake. And he says, no, that all... You're right also. If all the columns have 25 lines, this column also has 25 lines. You don't just write 11 lines on this column. And the Bi'ur HaGroi has a long arichas where he writes the minig is wrong and the correct practice is that you should have these 11 lines. You shouldn't have 5 lines on one column and 6 lines on the other column. You should have all the 11 lines of the Aseret B'nei Haman on one column. And Ish, Bereish Dapa means in the beginning of the line. It doesn't mean the beginning of the column. And Aseret B'nei Haman means at the end of the line. It doesn't mean the end of the column. That's what he said. Chaya Yodam, who was a mechutin of the Vilna Gaon, quotes this. And then he says, who am I to disagree with the Vilna Gaon? I think it was mechutin of the Vilna Gaon's son, if I'm not mistaken. But he calls him mechutani. He'd like to be a mechutin of the Gaon. So he calls him mechutani. So he, he writes, he says, who am I to disagree with the Gemara? But he says, the Gemara knew how to write Hebrew. There's the words Bereshit and Beresh Dapa. So how come the Yerushalmi says Beresh Dapa and Besef Dapa? That it means Bereshit and Besef Shita. So he says he doesn't really find it plausible, what the Vilna Gaon says. So he says, but what can you do? The Vilna Gaon said that that's the correct practice. But he recommends that you should write the whole Megillah with just 11 lines. Every column should only have 11 lines, so that when you get to this column, it's only going to have 11 lines. It'll be the same as everything else. So you won't have to write any giant letters, you won't have to have any empty spaces in between. That's his suggestion. Anyway, most people do not have. That's considered a Mehudadik and Megillah. Megillah that only has 11 lines in every column is going to be much longer than a normal Megillah, twice as long as a normal Megillah. Normal Megillah has 20, 30 lines in a column, 40 lines in a column, much more. That's the Chayyadam's recommendation. After the reading of Megillah, the Mishnah says in Maseches Megillah that Mokum Shenaga Levarach Yivarchu, Mokum Shenaga Shlo Levarach Layivarchu.
Would it be worse that more Tzulva does not write each of the
Tzulva of the Tzulva? I don't know, it's a problem. Let's go look in the Gemara. The Gemara Menachas talks about if you had the extra... I think the Gemara says that din only applies to Megillas Esther and Sefer Torah, that if you put a psucha where it doesn't belong, it does pass. Is that Miyake B'ri Yevin?
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I don't remember. Gotta look in Shulchan Aruch. I don't know. So the Mishnah says that the bracha before the Gemara explains the bracha that we say before the Kriyas HaMegillah, that's a real din. The bracha that you say after the Mikra Megillah, that's totally minig amochem. In other words, Anshik Nesagdolo, we're Misakin, and Misakin HaBrachas, we're Misakin HaBracha, Rabash, Rivenu, etc. But just as an optional bracha. Our minig is that we do say the bracha. However, the Ramon, Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Yerushalmi that we only have the minig to say the bracha when we lay in Betzibur. You lay in Kriyas HaMegillah B'yachad, you don't say the bracha. The Vilna Gaon disagrees with the Ramah. He says, he misunderstood Yerushalmi. Yerushalmi is talking about Bichas HaTorah L'yachreah. He only said the bracha Shanas Amon when you get an aliyah. But when you finish learning in the Beis Medrash at 2 o'clock at night, you go to sleep, you call it quits. So you don't say bracha Shanas Amon. You're not finished yet. You're going to learn tomorrow. You're going to learn the day after tomorrow. You're going to learn later. One of the Rabbanim in Germany had a dream that he was learning Rabbi Breuer's brother. Had a dream. He had visited the father, and then he went back to his in Germany many years ago. He went back to his little village wherever he was grew up. Then he had a dream the way he was learning with his father, which he was. And then the father told him, close the Gemara and say Bracha Shenas Alman. He closed the Gemara and said Bracha Shenas Alman in his dream. So he woke up, he sent the father a letter, because they didn't have any telephones then. He sent the father a letter, and he had this wild dream, he doesn't know how to interpret it. And a few days later he died. But that was assumed to be the interpretation of the dream, that you don't say bracha after you finish learning, you learn for the rest of your life. You only say bracha when you're finished, learn. When you're finished. That was assuming here this. Father told me you're going to die, so say the bracha Hashanah Salam. So the Vilna Gaon claims that the Yerushalmi that says you only say the bracha B'tzibur and not B'yochid after, goes after what? He says it goes after Kriyat HaTorah, but after Mikra Megillah, see, Tainas, he should say HaRavri Sirvenu, even B'yochid. But that basically is not our minig. Our minig is not like the Gro, because the whole bracha of Harabas Rivena is only a minig to begin with. So the thing is totally minig amokim. So the minig amokim is like the Ramah. The minig Baroi Kamakim is like the Ramah, that we only say the bracha B'tzibur and not B'yochid. That's why, let's say, if you go read the Megillah for people in the hospital or at home for the women, whatever, and you don't have a minion, then you don't say Harabas Rivena. What if you have, let's say, in Broyers, they have a second reading of the Megillah for the mothers, for the women. So they have 100 women. 50 women. They're 50 women. But they don't have 10 men. They don't have Asar Anoshim. Is that considered Kriyas HaMegillah B'tzibur if you have 10 women? Well, no. Do you need a tzibur that constitutes a tzibur for Chazaras HaShatz and for Kriyas HaTorah? Or is it good enough if you have 10 people? 10 people on Mechliv and Megillah. So that's a machlekes in the tour. The maila of Kriyas HaMegillah B'tzibur, whether it requires a tzibur like Kriyas HaTorah Dikat Tzibur, or a tzibur of 10 people. Because it's only for the sake of pursuing these. So misafik, our practice is that we don't say Harabas Rivenu. Since all Harabas Rivenu is only a minig to begin with, and our minig is that we only say B'tzibur, and the Rishonim say that this is not called B'tzibur, you have to have a B'tzibur of 10 men, So the meaning is that when you lain for the women, even if you have more than 10 women, that you leave out the bracha haravish yuvenu. What does the bracha mean? We say three things. Haravish yuvenu, adonis minenu, anoikei mestis mashenu. These are three things. Haravish yuvenu means HaKadosh Baruch Hu acts as the baldin, that he argues out the case. And now we'll be here. Adonis minenu means that he is the judge. Anoikei mestis mashenu means that he implements his stock in after he gives him stock. Then he goes and he's manish. What do we need somebody, Haravish yuvenu, what do we need somebody to argue the case after us? Rab Chaim quoted in Drushim, the Medrash Rabba says like that. I think on Vayigash, a Medrash Rabba like that, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when he judges the Ummah Sarilam, he represents Klal Yisrael as the Baldin. He tainas on our behalf, like the Gemara has in Baba Basu, Tanina. Tachtich Lilam Tanina. What do you need, Tanina? Rab Soloveitchik used to say, because we don't even know how much we lost with all the pogroms and with all the destruction that the Goyim did. We don't know how many Svarim were burnt by the Nazis in Europe, how many Kisvayad were stolen by the Vatican. Every year they keep on putting out more Kisvayad. All the Miris were missing for centuries. They were all sitting in the Vatican over there. The Catholic Church stole all the Svarim. Now also we don't know how much silver and how many people were killed and everything. So Kodesh Baruch Hu has to not only judge the case and punish the guilty people, he has to time out the argument on behalf of Klal Yisrael in his interim. We don't even know what the time, we don't even know what our losses are. He used the same nusach in Alanisman Chanukah. Raftas Rivam Dantos Dinim Nekamtis Nekamtis. Kodesh Baruch Hu serves. Raftas Rivam means that he serves as if he's the Baldin. Dantos Dinim, he serves as the Dayan, and then Nekamtis Nekamtis. He serves as the Shoter to enforce the Pesach Din. Regarding the Mikra Megillah Bayom, we just read the Megillah Balayla. So when we read the Megillah Bayom, there's a major dispute in the Rishonim whether you have to say Shehech Yonim or not. So the Rambam says no Shehech Yonim. You only say Shehech Yonah, Mis Habom, Nizman, Nizman. So I say Shehech Yonah, Mikra Megillah Balayla, I haven't heard the Megillah since last year, but the Mikra Megillah Bayom, I just heard the Megillah last night. So what's so exciting that I should say again Shehech Yonah? That's the Rambam Sheet, and that's how the Mechaber Pasman, that's the meaning by the Sardin. And in Frankfurt, that's the meaning also, in Breuers, that's the meaning. The Maharil writes that meaning also, that was the meaning in Germany. They adopted a lot of Sfardishim and Hovi. And the Rambam says that we follow the Balei HaTosis, meaning Ashkenaz, most places in Ashkenaz. They followed the Balei HaTosis in Frankfurt. They had a lot of Minhagim from, they went into Gola so many times that they adopted many Minhagim of Sfad. They say the Haftaris also, the Sfadish Haftaris. They don't say Bruyas, they don't say the Haftaris that we say. Whenever they're different Haftaris, they don't daven Nusach Smar, they don't daven Havaras Fadid, but the Minhagi Smar they have. So the Ramos says that our practice is that we do say Shechion. In fact, in the Maharil, he writes that he was the Balkaire. Maharil lived a long time ago. When did he live? The 1200s, 1300s, I think. So the Maharil writes he was the Balkaire in Shul. And he wouldn't say Shechion out loud in the morning, because that was their meaning. But softly, he would say Shechion to himself, because he didn't have these funny Minhagim. He had the Minhagim of the Balei HaTais. So he said the Shechion softly. The Vilna Goen, Paskin's like the Rambam. So they always used to be a minion here in Yeshiva for years and years. I don't think they have it anymore. For years they used to have our Goyim's minion. But they used to lay in the Megillah in the morning without saying Shechion. If you want a Goyim's minion, you can go to Breuers. They lay in the Megillah, they don't say Shechion. But most people have the practice that they do say Shechion. Tosis has to explain why Taka do you say Shechion in the morning. You just read the Megillah Balayla. So Tosis says, no, the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is really Bayom. What does that mean? The Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is Bayom. Rav Soloveitchik was fond of saying over what the Achrayim have. Rav Shlomo Levilna has a long piece about this in the Sefer Binyan Shlomo, and others have like that. That it could well be that in the Gemara it says Rav Yishur ben Levi is quoted as saying in Megillah Dalet Amud Aleph that the whim, that one is obligated to read the Megillah by Yom HaBalayla. So the Rishonim asked, but in the Mishnah and Dachof and the Beis, it only mentions Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom. Never mentions Kriyas HaMegillah by Yom. Never, the whole Mishnah is Megillah. Never says that. How come Rabbi Shimon Levi is the only one who says it? So Achrayim came up with this suggestion that it didn't exist in the days of the Tanoim. From the days of Amar Chavies to till the days of Rabbi Shimon Levi, they only read the Megillah by Yom. It was instituted later, Bizman HaAmaroi, Bizman HaAmaroi. So then you understand very well what Tosfos means, that the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah is really by Yom. Shaila is that the Ritva says the Seir is not so. The Ritva, not Mishnah Megillah that Chok on the base assumes that Kriyas HaMegillah Balayla was all part of the original Takana. The Takana originally required Kriyas HaMegillah both by Yom and Balayla. So why, what does Tosfos mean that the Kriyas HaYom is Iker? So Nadrav Soloveitchik also used to have a favorite shot that he used to say over very often. that this really is based on the Tzivantes. Rabbi Shimon Levi has a lashon on Dabdal and Amal Chay Baram Likras and Megillah Balayla Ulishanosa Bayom. So the Gemara says the Talmidim thought Ulishanosa means to learn the Mishnayos. Ulishanosa. So they thought you only read the Megillah Balayla. In the daytime you read, you learn Mishnayos Megillah. And then Rabbi Shimon Levi explained to them, no, Ulishanosa means to repeat the Mikra Megillah. So what does it mean Ulishanosa? It's a Chay Baram Likras and Megillah Balayla Bayom. What's Lushanosa? What does he need that for? So the Netziv writes in the Hakdama to Shmos, I think, in his Bir on Chumash, either to Shmos or to Dvarim, I forgot. One of the Hakdamas, maybe Bereish. Yeah, only five Hakdamas. So and one of the Hakdamas he writes that Lushanosa means that the second time you read the Megillah, you get to understand it better. Hazar. When you learn Chetzkos Habakim the first time, we just get it superficially. But when we get to the next Mishnah, so we're going to do a little Chazara, so then we hope we'll understand it better. When we'll Chazara the third time, the fourth time, Me'apam V'achas, so we'll certainly understand it better. But at least we got a Chazara once. Okay. So the Chachamim instituted, you should learn the Megillah Balayla, the Iker Kriyas HaMegillah really is Bayom. But the Chachamim wanted that the Kriyas HaMegillah Bayom should be understood. Shouldn't just be the layman. I haven't, in schools, they always teach the Megillah every year for little children. She was busy learning the Gemara with the Rav Shimon, with the Rav Nachtolis, with the Rav Baruch Bez. We have no time to learn Megillah Sefer. So we make a lane in Leil Purim. So we really don't remember, I don't remember the story so well, but on Yom HaPurim, when we're going to hear the Megillah for the second time, then it will be a better understanding. Then we'll already remember everything, we'll be able to put everything into proper perspective. So the Takanas Chacham to read the Megillah Balayla is in order that the Kriya Bayom will be the second Kriya. That's how he used to say. Purim is really only Bayom. The Yom Samech also has like that. The Yom Tov HaPurim was established on the day on which Haman wanted to wipe out the Jews. So that's the day on which they established the Yom Tov HaPurim. So when Haman wanted to wipe out the Jews, on the Jewish calendar, the day begins with sunset and goes to sunset. That's how they always announce on the radio. The holiday, Jewish holiday begins from sunset. But on the Goyish calendar, it's the Chakeret. The day begins from the morning. So since the Arsamech says like that, since this holiday was really established by Haman HaRosha, but then Venahapachu, he wanted to have a celebration for his purposes. So the Rosh Hashanah gave us a celebration on the same day. So since he wanted it to begin by Yom, so by Yom also, Purim really begins by Yom. That's why there's one opinion in the Tur that Leil Purim, when you daven Ma'ariv, you don't say Al HaNisim. Only if you came late and you're coming to daven Ma'ariv after Mikra Megillah. So once you read the Megillah, then you say Allah needs him. But if you davening normally, you daven Ma'ariv first, and then you're going to hear the Megillah, then there's one opinion. We don't pass them like that. The Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah stresses that we don't accept that view. We hold that you do say Allah needs him in Ma'ariv, even if you daven before Mikra Megillah. But what's the Bi'ur Hashita that you don't say Allah needs him in Ma'ariv if you're davening before Mikra Megillah? Because it's really not Purim yet. Purim only begins in the morning. And that's perhaps why the Gemara says that the Surah Purim Sha'asa Balayla Lo Yatri Decha Vasai, because it says, you may miss the simcha only yomim. And the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says, Shalachmanis and Matanis Lavyainim. Everything has to be dafke by yom. The Mikra Megillah also has to be by yom. The Ikka Kriyas HaMegillah is only by yom. And the Mishnah has in the beginning of Megillah, the institution of Bnei HaKfar Magdimim Liyoy Maknisa, that they used to read the Megillah on the Monday or Thursday before Purim. When Purim this year falls out on a Thursday, the Thursday is the Liyoy Maknisa. So you're not Magdim. You're not Magdim to an earlier day. But when Purim would fall out on any other day of the week other than Monday and Thursday, then there would be Bnei HaKfarim, the Yeshuvanikis would be Magdin, Kriyas HaMegillah, the Monday or Thursday before. So the Ran is a possibility that maybe they only read the Megillah by Yom and not by Laila. Maybe they would make it would appear from Rashi like that, that you only have to read by Yom. They don't have to read by Laila. The whole institution of Kriyas HaLaila is just tossed to the Kriyas HaYom to enhance the Kriyas HaYom to make it into the Kriyas Shniyah, that it should be Ulashanosa. That's Pashup Shat in the Mishnah Brura. That's Rav Soloveitchik used to say this. There's a famous machlokes, the Mishnah Brura and the Chazon Ish, about the din of Paris ben Yomo, Mikri Paru. The Gemara has such an expression in Megillah. If a fellow always lives in Yerushalayim, and he really should read the Megillah on Tezvav, but Tunk now he happens to be visiting in Tel Aviv, just for a day, just for 2 days. So even though he is basically Ben Yerushalayim, but since he's for these 2 days he's in Tel Aviv, so he's been okay Ben Tel Aviv, and reads the Megillah on Yud Dalet, or the reverse, a person who lives in Tel Aviv all year long, but he happens to be visiting Yerushalayim just for a week. So even though he's only here for 1 day, so he observes all of the mitzvahs on Shushan Purim, not on Purim Gufa. So how does one determine whether he has a din of a Ben Yerushalayim? But what time is this determined? And what is it? Daita Laksa? Ain't Daita Laksa? What is it determined by? So the Mishnah Brura says that it's all nikva by where you are on the morning of Yud Dalid, the morning, not the night of, the morning of Yud Dalid Adar. The morning of Yud Dalid Adar is the beginning of 2 days of Purim. It's 2 days of Purim for everybody, whether you live in Yerushalayim or in Tel Aviv, even in New York, 2 days. There's a nisa hester of atayinus on both days. There's a nisa hester of atayinus on both days. That's why some are in the practice of reciting Al HaNisim on Shushan Purim also. Some, the Mishnah Berurah quotes some Achrayim like that, the Minchas Aluza writes that was his practice also, like the Levush, that he said Al HaNisim on Shushan Purim also. Really both days are Purim. We don't say Al HaNisim, we don't go so far, but still we assume that the reciting of Al HaNisim is not because it's Me'ein HaMoira Purim. No, it's Tezvav is Purim, and because it's Purim there's a Nisa Hesper of Atayinus, but Al HaNisim is, reciting Al HaNisim is one of the mitzvahs Sayyim. That you have to read the Megillah and you have to give Shalach Manas, Matanas, Lagyayr, Mesudas, Purim, and say Al HaNisim. That's one of the. It's not because it's Purim so automatically. Whenever the day is a special holiday, so you have to mention something in the davening. No, that's only when it's a holiday, deraisa. When it's a Baruch Hashem, Yom Yom, Bechol Yom, Yom Taimim, Mehim, Bechol Yom, Shal Yom, that's only when it's a Yontav deraisa. When it's a Yontav derabbanan, Al Pidin, the day is not really different. But the reciting of Al HaNisim is one of the mitzvahs Hayyim that you should give Haydoya to HaKadosh Baruch Hu by saying, Moedim Anachna Loch Al HaNisim and so on. So that's why we leave out Al HaNisim on Shushan Purim. Basically, it's really 2 days Purim. The 2 days Purim begin from when? Not from Leil Yud Dalet. It begins from the Boker of Yud Dalet. From the morning of Yud Dalet. So wherever you are on the morning of Yud Dalet, the Mishnah Berurah says, wherever you are, the morning of Yud Dalet determines what your status is. If you're in Yerushalayim, the morning of Yud Dalet, so you are determined as a Ben Krach, and you have to lay in the Megillah on Tezvav. Even if it turns out that on Tezvav you're not going to be in Yerushalayim, it doesn't make a difference. And if you're in Tel Aviv on the morning of Yud Dalet, so that's all. You just lay in the Megillah at Yud Dalet, and that's it. Wherever you are, the morning of Yud Dalet is Kaveh. Why not the night of Yud Dalet? Because the night of Yud Dalet is not Purim. Purim begins really from the Alois HaShachar, from the morning of Yud Dalet, and it's a Yantam that lasts for 2 days. So the morning of Yud Dalet is the first moment. That's the Tchilas Hayom. So the Tchilas Hayom is Kaveh when you have the Chiyuv. And the Chazanish claims that that's wrong. The Chazanish quotes a Yerushalmi and he says that it's wrong. And the Chazanish says that it's all determined. Each day is determined by itself. So he says if you are, it's true, it's determined by the morning, not by the night. That part of the Mishnah Berurah he's masking. But he says it's determined by the morning of Yud Dalet and the morning of Tezvav. So he says a fellow is in Yerushalayim the morning of Yud Dalet. And then he goes to Tel Aviv for the morning after as well. So he's not mechuyev in anything. Doesn't have to keep anything. And if he's in Yerushalayim, and if he's in Tel Aviv the morning of Yud Dalet, and he's in Yerushalayim the morning after as well, he's mechuyev to observe both days Medina. Not Misfeika. Both days of Avadei Medina. He's a Paris Ben Yom. A Paris means a city that's not Mukav Chaimah. Horem HaProzim. So he's a Paris Ben Yom if he's in Tel Aviv on the morning of Yud Dalet. And he's a Ben Krach Ben Yom if he's in Yerushalayim on the morning after as well. He's Mukhayyif to lay in both times. So the Chazanish is also masking with half of the story of the Mishnah Berurah. That's in the Shulchan Aruch, that is determined by the morning. And the other half he disagrees. He holds that every day is Kaveh for itself.
All the other Mitzvahs are Kaveh anymore. And all the Mitzvahs are Kaveh. You were outside of Yerushalayim in the morning, but you went to Yerushalayim
the
15th during the day.
The morning of Tezvav, I was not in Yerushalayim. I don't think so. Then I don't think you say on. I don't have the obligation to reciting Al HaNisim. We assume is one of the mitzvahs Hayom. We don't follow the Levush who says that it's a din me'ein amar. We hold it's not me'ein amar. So if I wasn't in Yerushalayim, the morning after Tezvav, it's not mechayev me. Could be. I don't know. You gotta figure that out. I was never in Tel Aviv or in Yerushalayim. I was never in Eretz Yisrael on Purim. So I don't know. Yeah, the Gemara discusses a city that's a Safik Mukav, Safik Eina Mukav. What's the din of a Safik Mukav, Safik Eina Mukav? The Gemara says you lay on both days. So the Ran and the Rif comments on that Gemara that's only Lechumre. It's Amidus Hasidus to lay on both days. Mikar Adin, you only have to lay on Yud Dalet. So the Achrayim are bothered with Akasha. Isn't this a contradiction with what the Ran himself writes in Maseches Pesachim? The Gemara in Arbi Pesachim has a Machloikes Amaroyim. They both assume the premise that one only requires Haseba by two of the Arbekais. You don't really need Haseba by all of the Arbekais. But the Gemara has a Machlekes Amoraim, which two require Haseba, which two do not require Haseba, the first two or the second two. So the Gemara says, Hilchos, therefore, since we're not sure, we should have Haseba by all four places. So the Rani asks, why by all four other Rabbis? Haseba is only a Din Midrabbanan, so why not say Sfeika Midrabbanan Lekula? You choose whichever two you want, you forget about it, you ignore the other two. So the Rani answers that you can't do that. The Ram gives a long shanta based on what it says in Yerideya. Those who learn Yerideya, see the Kufir Aleph, the last simon, the very last simon in the first chain of Yerideya, there's a din that you can't say. I think we may have discussed it when we're learning Baba Pasach, there's a din you cannot say Sveika Darabon Lakula in a Tarte de Sasri. What are you going to say over here? The first two crises need a say, but the second two. Why did you choose the first two? Why not choose the second two? It's either this or that. So if you're not going to do Hasteba on any of the Dalit crises, then for sure you're doing wrong. If you're going to pick two crises as opposed to the other two, so what gives you the right to pick arbitrarily these as opposed to those? How do you know that you're doing right? So the Ran says, on that Gemara in Arvi Psochem, Hilchos, you have to have a Seba on all four, because whenever you have a Sveik of the Rabbanon, you have a right to go to Kula, but not to do a Tarte de Sasa, to go to Kula on all four. And you can't just pick arbitrarily these two and not the other two in the Hechatek. So why should you pick these two? Why should you be Mekel here and Machma over there? Why not be Machma there and Mekel there? So therefore, you have the Brer, you have to be Machma on both. But that's where the Beit HaLevi has a whole sugar where he discusses the Stira and the Ran. How come the Ran and Megillah write that Mikra Adin, Mikra Megillah is only the Rabbanon, it's not a Sveika Deraisa. It's not a Sveika Deraisa. The other Rachmanim say that it is treated like a Sveika Deraisa. Because the Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Prima Godin that we consider Mikra Megillah here, it's the last line in Tar Tzadik Beis in the Mishnah Berurah. Last line on page 317 in the Mishnah Berurah, he writes, "Kosav afim gadam safik and koras hamigila efshe de la mina be sek the rabban lekula because the dibre kabbalah and dibre kabbalah ke dibre teres damya." That's the Prima Godim and the Turi Evin. Rabbi Gevega quotes it. The Minchas Alaza holds like that. Said, "Hey, so these Afrinim say that that's the explanation to the Gemara. Why does the Gemara say if you have a safik whether you the city that you live in is mukof chaim and moitzu shuv and no that you read on both days? Why should you read on both days?" Why don't you say Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula? The Tzama Chayim said, because it's Divya Kabbalah, Kedivya Tera Damyan, they say Sveika de Raisa Lechuma. And the Ran says not so. The Ran says, no, it's only Midi Rabbanan. You really should have said Sveika de Rabbanu Lekula, and it's only Amidus Chasidus to lain on both days. Mikra Din, you should lain on Yudalit, do the first thing that comes lain on Yudalit, and then say you were Yotzer already. Well, you shouldn't have to bother to lain again on Tezvah. So that's the Beis HaLevi's Kasha, but the Ran himself writes in Psochim, the same Ran on the Rif writes in Psochim, that if you have a suffix whether to do Haseba now or later, you have to do both, because if you do neither, it's tied to the Sasek. And you have no right to choose arbitrarily one over the other, so therefore you have to go to Chumra on both. So why not say the same over here? You can't choose arbitrarily Yudalit at Tezvah, so you should have to go to Chumra on both. That's the Kash. A possible Teretz might be, but this is based on a highly questionable assumption, that the Mishnah Berurah writes in the Shar HaTzion, Achidush Niflo, on page 303, in the Sharat Tzion Ostes, that what if you are a Ben Krach, what if you live in Yerushalayim and you read the Megillah on Yudalit? Are you Yotzei or not? I would say no. What if I live in New York and I read the Megillah on Tezvot? Not Yotzei. So why should you say? We said everything wonderful, there's an Isha Hesped of Atinus on both days, 2 days Purim. 2 days Purim, it's 7 days Pesach, but you have to have the Seder the first night. I can't travel the Seder Shvi'i Shal Pesach. I can't make the Seder on Chol HaMoed. It's 7 days Pesach, but you got to have the Seder at night. It's 8 days, let's say 7 days Sukkot, but you have to bench Esrog Min HaTorah. And the first day you can't say, I'll bench Esrog on Chol HaMoed. No, you're not Yotzei. Min HaTorah, the Mitzvah, the Tilas Lulav, Ulokach Melchem Bayom Rishon, Bayom Velo Balayla, Bayom not Chol HaMoed Bayom. True, it's 7 days Sukkot, but there's a specific Zman when you have to do the Mitzvah. All day long is daytime. But Krishma has to be before the Sabbath Man Krishma. There is Manin, there is Vulman. So here also, fine, it's 2 days Purim, but if you live in New York, you have to read the Megillah on Yudal, and if you live in Yerushalayim, you have to read the Megillah on Tezvot. So the Mishnah Berurah writes, the Bezehu Yetzi B'dievin Afilu L'ben Krach. The Mishnah Berurah is talking about the Stira and the Ran. He's talking about the Ran. He doesn't present the Stira, but he's talking about the Ran. So he says the reason why the Ran says read the Megillah on Yudalit, and that'll solve the problem, and the fact that they lain on both Yudalit and Tezvot, that was only Midas Chasidus that they observed. So he says that's because anyone who lives in a krach in Yerushalayim, Mukav Chaima, lives in Megillah Yudalit would be Yaitzei also. That's a question. Why should that be so? That's his answer to the Ran. The Gemara in Maseches Megillah tells about one of on Dab Zayin Amud Aleph, going over to Zayin Amud Beis. The Gemara tells the story. One of the Amoraim sends Shalach Mani to somebody else, and then the one who received it sends him back a message. Kiyamta Banu Mitzvah Shalach Mani. Well, what was the deep insight of the declaration? What did he discover in America over here? Kiyamto bono mitzvah shalach manos. What kind of a lotion is that? I don't know. Let's say somebody comes to my door on Purim morning and they give me, they deliver a package, hamatashna. I say, oh, you hide with the power vested in me as a rabbi, I have smicha, I bypass and you're yoytze shalach manos. He doesn't know that he's yoytze shalach manos. So the Rashash has to come in. He wants to say that if I send shalach manos to somebody, we're both yoytze shalach manos. The one who receives it and the one who sends it. That's what he wants to say. Chiddush. The Bach has such a chiddush on the other Gemara. The Gemara says that there were two Amoraim who were very poor. Abai Barovin, Rab Chanina Barovin. So Mechalti stood aside Lahadot. They couldn't afford to buy any Shalach Manos. They could barely make a living to buy their own meal. So one year, Reuven invited Shimon over to eat by him. And the next year, Shimon invited Reuven to eat by him. That's what Rashi says. So the Bach on the side of the Torah asked the Kasha on the Rashi, all the Achronim jump on the Rashi. What do you mean? One year I invite you, Sam Yotze Shalach Manos, because I gave you a meal, and you're not Yotze Shalach Manos. The next year you invite me, so you're Yotze Shalach Manos, you gave me, I didn't give you anything. So how was the other guy Yotze Shalach Manos? What kind of a solution to the problem is that? They were very poor. So how did that solve the problem? So the Bach says, you see from the way Rashi learns the Gemara, that if you invite someone over to your home, that you're both Yotze Shalach Manos. So I always thought, I always thought that pshat in this kind of a case, the Yisayid Adin of Shalach Manos is that one should have the Sudas Purim together. Invited him, he's my guest and I'm the host. That doesn't make a difference. We each had a Sudas Purim with someone who usually doesn't, we usually don't eat with. If I send a dad, I thought the Bach says that Pshat and Rashi when the fellow's mom is eating by me. But if I send a gift to his home, I send him a food package to his home. So then I thought it's considered as if he is participating in my Sudas Purim, but I'm not participating in his Sudas Purim. So I thought in that case, I'm the one who sends is Yotze Shalach Manos. The one who receives is not Yotze Shalach Manos. So what we always assume, that only the one who sends is Yotze, the one who receives is not Yotze. But the Rosh Hashanah and this Gemara wants to say, Lule Gelistafina, of course, he says, we usually assume not like this Rosh Hashanah. But that's what he writes on Zion. He says, that's perhaps what he said, Kiyamta Bono Rabbeinu, Mitzvah Shalach Manos Ishlu'yev. We were both Yotze the Mitzvah, Kiyamta Bono. We were now both Yotze the Mitzvah. Not only does he hold that the Bach is right when they both eat together, even if they don't both eat together. I send the Shalach Manos to his home, once a day that they're both yet. It's a big chiddush, the Pashtus is that it's not so. But the yisayid of Shalach Manos certainly is that you mishatef the other person with you in the Sudas Purim. That's why it says in the Dark Emotion on the bottom of the tour, the Ramos Chibur on the tour is called the Dark Emotion, that you have to send the Shalach Manos food. And you have to send food that's a bekovedik of food. The Mishnah Berurah quotes from the Chayorim that if you just send gumdrops and peanuts or something, that's not a course in a meal. You have to send gefilte fish, chicken, flesh, salami, bread, soup. Michael, it's even a shayla ayoyete with a mashke. Rabbi Nechananel seems to have the girsa on that Gemara and Zayin on the base. The way he says is that you're not yoyete with a mashke. Not Yotze with a mashke. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Paskim of Shulchan Aruch say that you are Yotze, but some later Paskim question it, whether we should really Paskim like the Magen Avraham. Because of this Rabbi Nechananel and the others, one of the Vilna Dayanim is Ma'ur that. He says he's not so sure that we should Paskim like the Magen Avraham. Maybe we should say we should be Choshes for Rabbi Nechananel's Girsa, because the Yerushalmi has that Girsa. It would appear from the Talmud Yerushalmi's Girsa that you're not Yotze to send mashkin. You have to give Dabke two courses of the meal. Flesh, fish, something like that has to be bekovedik. And even if it will be bekovedik for someone else, but for you it's not bekovedik. Let's say for poor people, that's all they eat. But for wealthier people, we eat much bigger and better. So if the one who's sending and the one is receiving, Lugabi, the one who's sending, the one who's receiving, this is not a Bukovatik and Michael, he wouldn't eat that, let's say, I don't know, salami. This guy would never eat salami. He eats real food. He doesn't eat salami. Either the one is giving and the one is receiving would never eat salami. Yeah, maybe now it's considered a Bukovatik and Michael. I said I was at a wedding last night and they served the main, everybody had, we were sitting at a table, five different people ordered five different things. So the main, the hot thing of the evening was the pastrami sandwiches at the wedding. That was the main course, the pastrami sandwich. I didn't realize that it was such a hashiva, so I ordered chicken. But that was supposed to be the hot thing. So the Mishnah Berurah quotes this from the Chayyadim, that the Shalach Manah should be some, the Kovadik and Maichel. The Mishnah Berurah, the Magen Avraham, excuse me, the Magen Avraham claims that there's a Machlekes Achronim as to whether Sudas Purim requires one to wash for bread or not. Because the Magen Avraham quotes the Machlekes Achronim, if one benches after the Sudas Purim and forgot to say Alan Nisim, then you have to bench over again. So the Chayyadim should depend on this issue. But you have to bench over as a function of whether you have to have pasana. That's what the Magen Avraham claims. The Or HaShulchan says on that Magen Avraham, he thinks that it's not correct. He thinks that for sure it's not called the Sudas Purim, it's not called the Sudas Mitzvah if you don't have bread. You certainly have to have bread. And there's still a Machlekes Achronim. Some Achronim hold that here. It's the Sudas Purim, even if you have to say, even if one forgot to say Alan Nisim at the end. But for sure one should, you should certainly wash for bread, and you should certainly try to remember to say Alan Nisim and the benching at the end. More correct practice is, the Ramah describes the practice, that you wash late in the day, and then you have the most of the meal in the daytime, you finish the meal at night. Achronim are very unhappy about that. Why should you eat the meal so late in the day that you should finish at night? It's really a machlekes. If you eat by yom and you bench by Laila, what do you say Alan Nisim or not? So why should you get involved in the machlekes? It's preferable to bench before Laila. Bench before before Laila. So you have a vadai that you say Alan Nisim in the bench. Some people think they're so convinced based on their Ramah that's the meaning, that you're not yoytzei unless you do like that. You have to start by yom and eat into the laila. It's not so. It's preferable, they quote from the Zulugon and other tzaddikim and other gedolim, there would be mahadah to have the Sudas Purim in the morning. Why do you have to wait till late in the afternoon? Zviz magdim in the mitzvah, so you should really have the Sudas Purim by baika. If you don't enjoy having fleishiks at 8:30 in the morning, okay, so have later in the day, but it's not really proper to save the benching till Balayla.
I'm not like taking crackers from the Shalach Manah, is that not considered?
It is mechubah, but the question is that we don't really eat cake and crackers as a course in the meal. Sometimes you do. If it's a flimsy, skimpy meal, they didn't give you enough to eat, so you eat cake in order to fill yourself up. But, maybe, I don't know.
If you have guests at your table, meet about buses, you'll say something for us, so everyone there?
Don't know. I mean, according to the Bach, if you have a Sudas Purim with someone other than someone whom we usually don't have, so everyone is Yotze. But if you leave out that Chiddush on the Bach, and Kavacham, you leave out the Chiddush, the Chiddush of the Rashash, the Pashtus is only the one who gives. So it depends. If you give him so much, you give him chicken and fish and soup and dessert and a whole bunch of 10 different courses, so five people can be Yotze. Each person is Yotze with two courses that you give him. But you give them giant size pieces. You can have two people yotze even with two courses. The Gemara has a din chai vinish l'ksumi b'tur yad l'yoda. You have to drink a lot on Purim. But there's a maharsho in Bava Metzia and Av Chob Gimla and Beis. The Gemara says that you give back an aveda b'tvi asayin to a Talmud Chacham, even if he doesn't have any simonim on it. If he's not a Talmud Chacham, then he has to have simonim. But if he's a Talmud Chacham, he gets back to Tzvi HaSayin. So the Gemara says, what does it mean a Talmud Chacham? Doesn't mean if he's a great Torah scholar. It depends on his honesty. Talmud Chacham means how honest is he. If he never tells a lie, he only is Meshana B'Dibura, he only tells a lie on the three things that you're allowed to lie. Before your Sichta and the Yoshpisa. Those three things. So if he never tells a lie unless one is permitted to, so then you have a right to give back the Aveda. If he just says he recognizes it. So how do you translate the word v'mesichta? That you ask him, do you know Shas? And he really does know Shas. He says a lie out of humility. He says, no, he doesn't know Shas yet. So you're permitted to tell a lie out of humility. Usually the truth, but the guy does not. But even if the truth of the matter is that he does know, so he's permitted to tell a lie. And then Yushpiza means, let's say, a Meshulach comes to my home and I give him a big donation, and then someone asks the Meshulach, did he give a lot of money or not? He's going to say, yeah, this guy Shechter gives big donations. So then the next week I have 100 Meshulachim coming to my door. So the Gemara says that you're permitted to tell a lie in order that all the Meshulachim won't come and badger me. They're going to test me, they're going to empty me out, they're going to take away all of my money. What's Bepuria? What is Bepuria? So Rashi says the word Puria means a bed, and somebody asks a married man whether he had Tashma Shamita, so he's allowed to say no. So it's very strange. By Rashi Lam's Gemara, who's asking the guy whether he had Tashma Shamita? It's very strange. Yes, the guy, how did they treat you when you visited by them? So you don't want all the nudniks to come. So you say, well, it wasn't bad, but they weren't such nice hosts. You're allowed to tell a lie in order that the teva of the balabatim, that they shouldn't bother them. The mesichta out of humility. But why should anybody ask the guy about Puria? So the Maharsha has a different interpretation on the Gemara. He says Puria means Purim. Puria is the Aramaic for Purim. It means on Purim they ask the Talmud Chacham, are you drunk yet? Did you fulfill Adela Yod? And he's not really drunk. So he says, you're allowed to tell a lie and say that you are drunk in order not to drink too much. So the Marsha says that you don't have to take, you don't have to be so machmir. And the Adela Yod, the Achronim quote that Marsha. The Marsha exists. But the Achronim pointed out la'alochet, they recommend like that, that one is not mukhiyah to be so machmir on the din of Adela Yod until he mamish gets stone drunk. The Ramah says, following the Rambam, the Ramah writes in Hilchos Purim, a person should drink yosem hergelo more than he's usually used to drink until he will become drowsy, and then he will take a nap later on. And when he will be napping, then he will not be able to tell the difference between Arur Haman and Baruch Mordechai. You have to be careful that the becoming drunk should not affect one's ability to bench Birchas Hamazon properly, shouldn't affect one's ability to daven Ma'ariv. Minchah, you should daven before you have this season. For sure, you should daven before. But you have to be careful not to get drunk to the extent that you won't daven Ma'ariv. And Yotze Schor Ben Hasein.
How much, depending on how drunk are you, allowed to daven Ma'ariv? Even if you're, say, you know you daven Ma'ariv, but you're not allowed to daven Ma'ariv.
You're not allowed to, right. You have to take a nap before.
Benching
is, Yerushalmi says, you're permitted to bench even if you're a little tipsy. Because it says v'chalta v'savata v'erachta v'sashamka, so v'savata includes drinking. As long as it's not a shikish shigil l'shikus v'shalom. But davening, you need you're not permitted to daven if you're a little tipsy. So you have to take a nap before so that the tipsy mood will evaporate. This week is Parshas Tzav, so I figured I'll discuss a little bit the Parshas HaShavua. We have the din of Korban Shlamim mentioned in the Sedrit, and the Torah uses a very strange expression. It says that Korban Shlamim is Nechal Shnei Yamim V'Laylo Echad. You bring a Korban Shlamim today, well, today's a Tainus, it wouldn't be a good idea to bring a Shlamim. You're Mamayit and Nizman HaAchila. Let's say on a normal Wednesday, bring the Korban Shlamim on a normal Wednesday morning, so you can eat Wednesday night, and Thursday until Shkia. Shnei Yamim V'Laylo Echad. So the pasuk says you can eat it Wednesday, and what's left over Thursday, vanaisa b'yom hasheni b'yeochel, what's left over you can eat, vanaisa b'yom hashlishi, that you're not allowed to eat. Why does it use an expression in Perek Zayin, pasuk Tez Zayin, vanaisa m'meno y'yeochel? Why is it called naisa? So the Ravid and the Ramban both say, the Ramban Achumish has on this pasuk, and the Ravid is in on the bottom of the rib in Pesachim. So the Ramban a lot of times has ideas from the Ravid. So the Ravid and the Ramban both say that lachatchila the mitzvah min amuvchar is to eat the whole korban shlamim on the first day, like a korban teida. It's only nechel yom v'layla, like a korban chata is only nechel yom v'layla. So lachatchila the mitzvah min amuvchar, the mitzvah mishlemus really consists of eating the whole korban shlamim a yom v'layla. So ha'naisa mimenu, it's really nicer. But the Torah says, no, if you have a little nicer left over for tomorrow, you can still eat it tomorrow. But if you leave it over to the third day, then it's really nicer, then you cannot eat it. There's some math points out there with this idea that the Raiva developed, this could farem for certain kashas. And then the Gemara in Zvachim. And a korban toida is a brand of shlamim. It's called Zevach Toida Shlamov. The Gemara says, let's say Hashem the korban toida l'shem shlamim. I wanted to become a korban shlamim. So the Gemara says in the first parak in Zvachim, that's not called the Shini Kodesh. Let's say a person knows that this is a korban chatos, and he decides he wants the shech to the shem the Shem Shlomim or the Shem Ola, or the Ola, he wants a Shechter, the Shem Chatas. So that's called Shinui Kodesh. If he knows what it is and he decides he's going to Shecht it to serve as a different carbon, that's a Shinui Kodesh. And the Mishnah says that it passels partially. Sometimes it passels completely, sometimes it partially. The first Mishnah is often says. So what if a person Shechts a Taida or the Shem Shlomim? So the Gemara says that's not called the Shinui Kodesh, because the Taida is a Taida Shlomav, hyphenated. Every Taida is a Shlomim. It's a branch of a carbon Shlom. It's not really considered a Shinui Kodesh. The question is whether a carbon taida. The Gemara says carbon taida is bob ben adam and adavim. Whoever wants to can volunteer a carbon taida, just like a carbon shlamim is bob ben adam and adavim. Is one ever mechuyif to bring a carbon taida? If someone is suffering from sickness and from no parnasa, and everything is going wrong, has no shidduch, no job, has no happiness in life at all. So he brings a carbon taida. What is he thanking the Rabbanu Shlom for? So the Gemara says, whoever you can thank the Rabbanu Shlom that is still alive. You can thank the Rabbanu Shlom that he was born. You don't have to be in a happy mood to bring a carbon taida. But what if the person is in a happy mood? Is he obligated to bring a carbon taida? So the Gemara has that braisa, abroad tzichim lahaydis. There are four people who are obligated to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So there's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos, there's a perek ha-taida. In the end of Menachos, perek ha-taida has all the dinim of carbon taida. So there's a machlekes, Rashi and Tosfos in Menachos. In perek ha-taida, what this braisa mean? So Rashi understands, abroad tzichim lahaydis, four people are mechuyif to bring a carbon taida. As far as everybody else in the world, Ayyatim and Beis Asir, Machodesh and Isrape, and Hochim and Boris, and Ovri Hayamim, the four people. Cholachayim Yuduchan Selo, Shulchan Akkos, Chayim is a Rashi Tevim. So the Taisis and that Gemara disagrees with Rashi. They say, what do you mean? The Gemara says that Taida is Bob and Edom and Adova. The Pashup Shat is no one is ever Mukhif to bring a Korban Taida. It's only an Edom and Adova. It's not a Chayiv at all. The Raisa that says, Abba Tzichim Lahidus only means they're obligated to recite Bechas HaGlaimo, and it has nothing to do with the carbon taida. It doesn't mean it has nothing at all to do with the carbon taida. The Bechas HaGaimel was called the Tikkur Rabban Kein the Raisa Tikkun. It was patterned after the institution of carbon taida. That's how the Nesiv writes in the Tshuvas Nation Dover. He says, why is it that we have a minig that we say Bechas HaGaimel b'shas Kriyas HaTorah? What does it have to do with Kriyas HaTorah? Say Bechas HaGaimel by Shalva Shudas. When they have a big crowd, say some other time. Maybe after Aleinu. Why should you say Berchus HaGaimel in connection with Kriyas HaTorah? He says that it must be that it's a zeichet to the Korban Torah that was brought in the Beis HaMikdosh, and when we learn Kriyas HaTorah, that's the only thing that we have left. That's what we say in the Kinnis on Tisha B'Av, Ein Lo Nashir Rak HaTorah. The whole Korban Beis HaMikdosh, the only thing that we have left from the Beis HaMikdosh is the Sefer Torah, because the Sefer Torah is supposed to be munach in the Beis HaMikdosh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So when we learn Kriyas HaTorah, and sure, that's considered as if it's a zeichet to the Beis HaMikdosh. That's why the Chasam Sofer writes in his Tshuvas that the proper thing is always to have a bima b'emtza. The bima for the Kriyas HaTorah should be b'emtza. Beis HaKnesses, it shouldn't be connected with the bima in the front. Would the Kohanim walk up in order to duchen, or you walk up in order to take out the Sefer Torah from the Aron Kodesh? That's one bima. But then you should have another bima separate, a bima b'emtza not connected. Because the Chassam Sofer writes it should be Zeichel and Mizbech, just like in the Beis HaMikdash, the Mizbech was separate from the Heichel. You could walk around the Mizbech. So too in the Shul, the Bima for the Kriyas HaTorah purposes should be separate from the Heichel, from the front of the Shul. So the Netziv says that the reason for the Chassam Sofer is that the Makom for Kriyas HaTorah is considered Mechuvan Keneged HaMizbech. It's considered that the Sefer Torah is a Zeichel to the Beis HaMikdash. Now Rashi's opinion is that Abba Tzichim Lahaydis means that they're obligated to bring a Korban Taida. In fact, the Mishnah Brura in the end of Chelek Sheni in Mishnah Brura points out in the Bir Halacha that there's a Rashi in the first Perek in Zvachim round up Zion or so. The Rashi discusses, Rashi claims that the Gemara had the following Havamina. Let's say a person was a Chelush in Isrape and he brings a Korban Taida to the Beis HaMikdosh, and the Kohen who's Shechting thinks that the person is bringing the carbon not because of the choli that he just got over, but rather he was just yetzim beis asurim, or he thinks it was holchim idbaris or ovrei ayamin. So if you shecht the carbon taida that was really brought to shame cholish and esrape, and the kohen shechts it and he does that void as l'shem yetzim beis asurim, so Rashi learns that the Gemara had a havamina that should be called the shinu kodesh, that this is the one kind of a carbon taida, that's a different kind of a carbon taida. So Rashi is so. Then the Mishnah Berurah discusses such a possibility. If two people have to say Birchas HaGaimel, But I was yetzim beis asurim. I was just let out of prison, and you were just a chelish in Isrape. So maybe if I'll say birchas hagemel, you'll say, oh, amen. Maybe you're not yetzim. Maybe it's a different birchas hagemel. I'm saying birchas hagemel for one thing, and you have to say birchas hagemel for another thing. So maybe I'm not mechuyib dover, and you're birchas hagemel. So the Mishnah Berurah has such a discussion based on that Rashi. That Rashi wants to break down. That Rashi goes l'shitasa in Perakat Toida. The Abba Tzichem Odis. I'm obligated in mechuyib to bring a korban toida, and Rashi wants to break it down to the four parts. The Holchi Midbaris is one Chiyuv Taida, and the Chavish and Israp is another Chiyuv Taida, and Yetz Mishasurim is a third one, and so on. Each one is a separate Chiyuv. But Taisa disagrees with the whole thing. Taisa thinks that the whole Rashi is not true. In this Ikhsed, we have the special dinim of Miriko Ushtifa. That's a din of Hagola by Kalim, in which we cooked Korbanus. If there's a pot in which you cook a Korban Chatos, so the chatos has to be eaten yom v'layla ad chatzos. So if I leave over any of the psara chatos till the morning, it'll become noiser at alois hashach. What if I ate up the whole korban chatos, but there's still a bliya of the korban chatos in the defne hakdera? So the pasuk tells us in the chumash, when it comes alois hashachar, the bliya in the defne hakdera becomes treif, even though at the time that it was cooked it was kosher, and I ate everything up and I scoured the pan and I scraped it off with Ajax and with steel wool and everything. And there's nothing on the surface on the outside of the pan, but there is a bliya of flesh in the pan. So the bliya of flesh in the pot and the defnak there becomes noisor and it comes alois hashachar. So there's a special mitzvah mariko shtifa that they have to do hagolah. And the hagolah has to be done b'makom kodesh in the azor. This hagolah has to be done in the azor. And not only do you have to do hagolah b'chamin, that's how you normally do hagolah with burning hot water. Mala babuas, it's reseach, 212 degree burning hot water, bubbling water. You have to rinse it off with cold water also. It's just a machlekes hatanaim. They rinse it off with cold water first as part of the mitzvah. They rinse it off with cold water first and then you do the hagola. Do you first do the hagola and then you rinse it off with the cold water afterward? Mariko shtifa, morak hashuta b'moy. Whether the first one is b'cham and the second one is b'tzayin, and the first one is b'tzayin and the second one is b'cham. But this is a special din that only applies to b'sar korbanos. The Gemara says it doesn't even apply if you cook Truma in a pot, even though Truma is Kodesh, but it's not Kodesh like Korbanos. Special din that only applies to Korbanos that were cooked in a pot. Taisus on the last daf in Avodah Zarah points out that we have a minig, Bizman said that right after we finish Hagolah in the burning hot water, we rinse off the pot or the fork and the knife with cold water. The Taisus wonders, what is that minig based on? What in the world could it possibly represent that you rinse it off with cold water? So the only answer that they can come up with is this. But it must be that it's a zeichet to the mitzvah of Mariko Shtifa, which no longer have the manas that Mariko Shtifa only applies to Kodshim, and only applies if you do it in the Beis HaMikdash. If you do Chutz HaMikdash, you're not yotzei to the mitzvah. So we today want to have a zeichet to that mitzvah, so maybe that's what Tosfos says. Maybe that's why we rinse off the pot after finishing Hagolah, rinse it off with cold water. The same thing the other din also. Uklicheres HaShatavush Albo, Yishaver. And if you cook the korban chatas or any korban, you cooked it in a klicheres, or hatara heida klicheres and yotzei midei dofi le'olam. This is the pasuk where the Torah tells us that a klicheres cannot have hagola. If hagola would work on a klicheres, so what do you have to have yishaver? So ashod on the pot. Why should you waste the pot? So the Torah would have said to kashrut. So you see from this pasuk that hagola does not help on a klicheres, and the yishaver, the shviras haklicheres, also has to take place in the azar. You have to crack the pot in the azar. The Gemara in Zvachim is bothered with a kashen. Why do you have to crack the pot? Hagola doesn't help, but Libun does help. So why not do Libun? The Gemara asks, for the Hedvina Likiv Shainas. Why don't you take your Klicheris? Why do you have to crack the pot and then throw it in the garbage and never use it again? So it's going to be an expensive proposition. Whenever you use a Klicheris to cook a carbon in it, you can only use it once. Like a disposable tin pans. You can only cook in a klicheres once and you have to throw it out. It's going to be very expensive. You're going to lose a lot of money. So I think Mari asked, why don't you put it in the kivshainis, in a tanur, in an oven, and burn it out? Do a libum. So I think Mari says, anachanami. If there would be ovens in Yerushalayim, you would be able to do that. But there is a prohibition against having any ovens in Yerushalayim because the smoke and the soot, not allowed to have any factories in Yerushalayim, because the smoke is going to cause all the buildings get dirty and it's going to cause the air to be contaminated and the people are going to get sick from it and it's not healthy. So you're not allowed to have, ain't nice and keep shining, but you shall like. The Gemara says, you're not allowed to have any ovens that make, or factories like that make smoke. in Yerushalayim. But if not for that, the Gemara implies that you would have taka done a libun on the pots and pans instead of doing yishaver. Why should you throw it out? You would have taka done libun. Torah in this week said when Parshas Sam has the halacha of chavite kain gadol, that the kain gadol every day of the year, including Shabbos and Yom Kippur and Yom Tov, every single day of the year, is obligated to fund a korban that's brought machzisa b'bogim machzisa b'ar. It's a minchas chavita, a special kind of a mincha, that he has to be mekadosh and eklisharis in the morning, the entire mincha, the whole shiur, and then he divided in half, and half of it yamaktir in the morning, and half of it yamaktir dein arbaim. That's chavite kain gadol. There were a few other mitzvahs that they did in the morning and the evening. They brought a korban tamid in the morning and the evening. They say kriyashma in the morning and the evening. So the machlok is the Rambam and the Ramban in the minyan mitzvahs, whether this counts as two mitzvahs or as one mitzvah. The Rambam counts it as one mitzvah. To bring two tamidim every day, to bring Torahs twice a day, to bring chavita kain gadol twice a day, to recite kriyashma twice a day. And the Ramban tain is against the Rambam. Is manushal zeh lo kaz manushal zeh. Why does he count it as one mitzvah? What has one got to do with the other? You have to say kriyashma in the morning, you have to say kriyashma in the evening. You have to bring a talmud shal shach, you have to bring a talmud shal ben abayim. Why does the Rambam hold that they're connected? Apparently the Rambam seems to hold that it's one mechayev for both. When you do the kiyam mitzvah, you divide it into two parts, but the mechayev is one. When it comes the morning, you become obligated to recite kriyashma twice. When it becomes the morning, you become obligated to bring k'teres twice. You become obligated to Kangaroo becomes obligated to bring the Chavite Kangaroo twice, but it's really one Mechayev for both. The Rambam apparently holds that you go according to the Mechayev, you don't go according to the Zman Kiyuma Mitzvah, and the Mechayev seems to be one. This halacha of the Chavite Kangaroo, the Kangaroo has to fund, has to pay for it in his pocket. Of course the Kangaroo is salaried by the community, he should be able to fund these Gamans, that he needs money in order to function. You have to pay money. Part of his functioning is that he has to pay for the bringing of the chavita kain gadol every day. But the halacha does not require that he should actually do the avoda on the minchas chavita. He can give a kain hedyut the minchas chavita to do the avoda. He just has to be the balak korban. It's forfeit on his behalf. That's the minchas chavita. Then the Torah has another din in this week's Sefer, the beginning of Parashat Sav, the din of trumas hadeshen. There are two dinim. There's a din of hatzoas hadeshen and a din of trumas hadeshen. Rashi points out, when there's an awful lot of ashes on the mizbeach and there's just no room to move around there, but then it says b'chotzias hadeshen v'mechutz l'machane el mokam tor. That's in the opening of psukim of the parashah in pasuk dalet. That's when there's a tzibur. That's when there's a lot of ashes piled up, a tapuah like an apple, big pile of ashes on the mizbeach, and it's all in the way, then you have to be motzias hadeshen. But that mitzvah wasn't done every single day. That's done once in a while. Kishuhu robe, vein mokam lemarocha, Rashi writes, when there's no room. So you take out all the ashes, mechutz l'machane. But every single day of the year, there was a mitzvah of trumas hadeshen. You take off a little bit, like hafrashas truma. Just like when you have tevel. So when you mafresh truma, so the hafrashas truma is chal on everything. The truma becomes kodesh, and the rest of the tevel becomes chul mesukanim. Now it's mutter for people to eat it. So to over here, the Gemara says in Maseches Me'ilah, when you do the Trumas Hadeshen every day, so the Truma is like a Hafrashas Truma that has an effect on everything. That up until the time that you do the Trumas Hadeshen, there still is a din of Me'ilah on the ashes. When you have a carbon, let's say you have a carbon oil, so there's Me'ilah. Or the Emurim of all the carbonists, there's Me'ilah. So how long will it be Me'ilah? The Gemara says Me'ilah is only up until the point of Nasis Mitzvasoi. Once it's ready, Niskaima Mitzvasoi, so the Gemara has a klal, Ein lechadovish Nasis Mitzvasoi Moilim Bo. It's not going to continue to be a Nisa Me'ilah. You have to be ready to fulfill the mitzvah. So let's say you already burnt all of the chalef and it turned into ashes. So Dachzach, one would think that he's already Niskaima Mitzvasoi. He finished the mitzvah. So the Gemara says no. Since all of the ashes on the Mizbech are still oimei to fulfill Trumas Hadeshen that was done every single day, so there's still a din of Me'ilah on all the ashes up until the point that you do the Trumas Hadeshen. Once you've taken off the Trumas Hadeshen, then everything's Yotzim Dei Me'ilah. Because the Hafrasha of the little bit of Deshen that you take off every day is Chal on everything. Everything is Ayimid L'mitzvah Hafrasha Hadeshen. How much of the Deshen do you have to take off every day? You have to, by the way, you have to be careful. Trumas Hadeshen, you have logs burning on the Mizbeach that turn into ashes, and then you have fat, flesh, that turns into ashes. The Trumas Hadeshen has to be from the flesh. That's what it says. The Heirimis Hadeshen Ashatechel Ha'esh Esho Oilo Al HaMizbeach. You have to take off the ashes. It's not exactly going to be ashes. Ashes are usually when you burn wood, then you get ashes. But that you're not yetzer the mitzvah of for haitzos hadashin. Got to take off all the ashes. Michutz machana makom tor. That's haitzos hadashin. Pasuk dalit. But pasuk gimel the heirimus hadashin for trumas hadashin every day. You have to make sure that you're not taking ashes from the logs. That doesn't count. It has to be ashes from the flesh that was burning on the mizbeach. Ashatech al ashes ha'ilah al mizbeach. From those, you can tell the difference, the different kind of ashes. So how much of the ashes do you have to take? So Rashi and Chumash writes, and Rashi and the Gemara writes in a few places, you take melo ha-machta, a machta full. The Rashash, in one place, asks on all these Rashis. Rashi consistently writes like that. What kind of a melo ha-machta? The Gemara raises the question. Rashi writes on Chumash, ve'eirim sadeshin melo ha-machta. And on the Gemara also Rashi has it. So the Rashash in one place in Pesachim asks, the Gemara Me'ila discusses how much. The Gemara says, Kazayis. So what does Rashi say, Melo HaMachta? Where does he get it from? So he answers that apparently Rashi understood the Gemara Me'ila as discussing what's the bare minimum. So the minimum is Kazayis. If you'll take less than the Kazayis of ashes that came from the flesh, you're not yet to the mitzvah. But for the mitzvah Bishlei Musoi, Rashi understood Pasha Pshat, and you have to take them, Melo HaMachta. The Kazayis is just the minimum. In Parshas Tzav, there are two parts. The first half of Parshas Tzav reviews again all the dinim of karbonis, hakrovus, hakarbonis, and so on, chelav and adam, and so on. And then the second half of that's up until Revi. Then it concludes all the dinim by saying zos hatar loyel van mincha lachatus loshen lashlamim v'la milum asher tziv Hashem es Moshe b'hasinim b'yam tzavos es b'nei zol hakvus kamenem Hashem b'mid b'asinai. That's the conclusion of all the dinim of the karbonis. And then chapter Ches from Revi on goes by Abba Shem Moshe Leima kachas ha'armas bonavito do the halboshes habgadim the hayra shor and the shmini l'miluim what karbonis to bring and how to do the mishicha b'shem and amishcha and so on. That's the end of the sedra. So the concluding pasuk of the first half of the sedra. Zos hatar lo'el v'lamincha v'lachatus v'loshem and so on asher tziv Hashem es Moshe b'hasinai b'yom tzavos es b'nei Yisrael l'hakriv es korbanim. So the Gemara understands from this pasuk that it goes on l'hakriv es korbanim b'yom, even though that's not really what it says in the pasuk. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded this to Moshe Rabbeinu b'yom, the nevuah was given to Moshe Rabbeinu b'yom regarding b'nei Yisrael bringing korbanos. It doesn't say whether the korbanos are brought b'yom or b'layla. But the Gemara reads the pasuk an additional level of interpretation. The Gemara understands the pasuk to say also Biyom tzavos mikan shebayom akrivim v'loy balaylo. The Torah Tzvim quotes that Gemara in Zlochem. Chesed refers to this Gemara very often in different mitzvahs. Biyom tzavos, all karbonos have to be offered by yom. So that's why the Rabbeinu Yonah writes in Brachos at the beginning of Tfilos HaShachat, you have to be careful to finish davening mincha by yom. Because not only is it because the Chachamim are misakin to say mincha by yom, Ben Hashmash says safik yom safik laylo. So mincha is only the rabbanon. So you say speak the rabbanon lekubi. You can be yotzei mincha ben hashmoshes. No, Rabbi Yoni says that the chachamim were misakin the zmanim of all of the davening. The zmanim had tefillah mechuvin keneged the zmanim of the hakrovas of rabbanon. And you absolutely b'toras vaday cannot bring a korban after shkia. That's what Tosis points out in Zvachim. The Rabbi Yoni quotes in Zvachim daf nun vav. There's a Tosis where they explain that dam nifskal the shkia sachama is a din b'toras vaday, not b'toras sofi. That you cannot bring korbanos after shkia is not because there's a suffix. According to Rabbi Natam Shita, after shkia it's still vada yom for another 55 minutes or so, and then for the next 15 minutes or so it's going to be bein hashmoshes. So in the first 50-55 minutes after sunset, if it's vada yom, so then you should be able to makriv korbanos. Rabbi Natam says no, that's what the Gemara has a special pasuk, the dam nifsal the shkia zacham. You cannot bring korbanos after the shkia even though it's vada yom. So the Rabbi Yoni says you got to daven mincha before the shkia, not because you have to daven mincha bayom, and you can't daven balayla. No, it's more than that. You have to daven mincha at the time that the Buddha brought the Talmud Shalvein Abayim. So after Shkia, the Rabbi Yehuda claims that it's bevadai that you cannot daven mincha. It's not a suffix, but a shayla macht nesat from the sveka the Rabban Lekul. Says you have to be medactic. Rav Soloveitchik used to be fond, of course, of quoting that Rabbi Yehuda. That's one of the hang-ups that the Misnagdim have against the Hasidim. Hasidim have the practice of davening very late. In Europe, they used to daven late because they used to make hachonis. They used to go to mikveh. They used to want to work up a religious frenzy. They used to learn this Kabbalah a little bit, Zohar, whatever. So they were so involved in hachonis to the mitzvah It turned out that they daven mincha after the shkia, and then after a while, they forgot why they used to daven mincha. So let's say now, they see them go to work, then they come home, they watch television, whatever, and then speak to their stockbroker, whatever they do there. And then they run into shul an hour after the shkia in order to daven mincha. What they're making hachanas? They're not making any hachanas. So meaning of the same day. Meaning of the same day. Originally, why did they start it? They started because they made a lot of hachanas. Shachris also. They went down to Shachris like, why go to mikveh and they say tilim and they are making hachanas and saying viduyim and whatever. So all hachanas take so long. So then they went down to Shachris like. But if the guy's just having a cake and coffee. And then he comes to Dam Shachris at 11:30 in the morning. So what hachonis did he make? What? There's no excuse for that at all. The practice that the Hasidim had also, Rav Chaim Volozhiner was extremely opposed when they first founded the Hasidim. So he writes in his Nefesh HaChaim that it's not proper, that you're not allowed to make all the hachonis in such a way that it's going to interfere with the Zmanei HaMitzvah. And we don't say any longer Chatei Bishvil Shetiske. You don't allow Gdol Aver Lishmo. We don't allow Aver Lishmo anymore. That was only Kodem Matan Torah, Lacha Matan Torah. We never allow it, or we hardly ever allow it. It's not proper. So Chaim Volozhiner makes fun of that. And he heard that there are communities where they sit and they schmooze, or they learn whatever, and then they send somebody outside to ask, can you see three stars? And then if they can see three stars, they say, okay, it's time to daven mincha. The medaktik to be mahadet to see if it's Seis HaKocham. He says, Shom HaShamayim, it's against Allah. You have to daven before Seis HaKocham Narif. But you have to daven way before that also, not just daven before Seis HaKocham. L'chatchila Fishu is supposed to daven before the Shkir. The Rabbeinu Yonah holds that even the Eved, you cannot daven after the Shkir, but Taras Vada, he claims. Because it is din. That this man of davening mincha is mechuvin keneged, this man of hakrovas hakrabonis, and no karbonis were offered after the shkia. Even though to vadayom, no karbonis were offered at all. And later in the Sedra, you have from Revi Yan, you have the dinim that they had fulfilled all of the hayruah shor regarding the shmini lemiluim, the special karbonis, and so on. They brought the karbonis, so the pasuk says in Perites Pasuk Chav Beis Vayisa Aharon Es Yored El Ha'om Vayivorchem Vayered Mi Asos Achatos Viha Olo Viha Shlomim. So the Gemara says in Masecha Soto that from this Pasuk we derive that the Duchening Vayisa Aharon Es Yored El Ha'om Vayivorchem, he lifted his hands up to recite Birchas Kohanim. The Duchening should always be recited at the conclusion of Hakrovas Korbanos Tzibur. So this is what led Rabbi Yankif Emden to state that Duchening Bizman HaZeh can only be the Rabbanah, because we don't have any Karbanah Sibur. And even Bizman HaMikdash, Duchening is only the Raisa in the Beis HaMikdash, Chutz LeMikdash, when there's no Akrobus Karbanah Sibur. So the Duchening is only the Rabbanah. Rabbi Yankif Emden wrote a, he was a publisher, he was a printer. So he printed all of his money. So he wrote a Sefer on Orachim that's called Moruk Tziyah, that the Mishnah Brewer quotes every so often. So the Mishnah Brewer in Hilchas Tziyas Kapayim quotes this from the Moruk Tziyah, and he says that this is absolutely wrong. As the Farisha Harchachis, the Mishnah Brewer was a Kohen, so he doesn't want to hear that he's only doing Duchening with the Rabbanah. So he says it's absolutely wrong, and he quotes from a Gemara Chulani, he quotes from a Sifruah, and a Sifrein, and a Chilta, the Sefta. He drops bombs over here, he says he's wrong. There's the Farish, that Duchening Bizmanazah is also the Ras. So Rabbi Yankif Emden is wrong, but the question is, how can he be wrong? But he's right. It's an often a Gemara in Saita, based on the pasuk in pasuk chav beis perek test pasuk, but he's Aaron is yod of alam by brachim by yered miasos hachatas v'hoilu v'ashlamim. At the conclusion of the hakrovus kabanas tzibur, that's when he went to recite the nesias kapayim. So the Kevin Eiro and the Gemara in Soito writes, he quotes it from the Mishkan Yankiv from his brother. Mishkan Yankiv was a big misnagid. He was the Talmud of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. He was a Rav and for the misnagdim in Karlin, with the Stolen and Hasidim. Stolen and Karlin are two twin cities. So he has tshuvas, several tshuvas, but he just is pouring his anger out against the Hasidim. Let's say the tshuva on Tfilin HaChalamoid. He knows the Vilna Gaon didn't put on Tfilin HaChalamoid. And every other tshuva he quotes the Biuri Agra, and this one he just ignores the Vilna Gaon. He ignores because he has to attack the Hasidim. So he has, and when he died, when the Mishkan Yankiv died, his brother took over the Rabbanis. The Kamenor was only on Kochi. He wrote on Kochi. And on the Dor Mel Zesek also. Basically on Kochi. So the Kevin Oyer quotes from the Mishkan is Yankif on this, quotes his older brother, they learn for Havrus. Quotes his older brother on this din, he says, when the Chazan repeats the Chazaras Hashatz, that's called Korbanos Tzibur. When you daven, that's Tefillah. But when you get in the Shemoneh Esrei to the Bracha Ritzei, we say, Ritzei Hashem Elokein Ba'amchi Yisrael Uvis Tefillosam. What does the term Ritzei mean? Hashem should accept our prayers. But the term Ritzui is used in Tanakh, Ruba de Ruba, the Balatani writes, the term Ritzei appears in Tanakh, Ruba de Ruba, 99% of the times, the near to Lala Chapar Olam in connection with Karbonis. The Karbonis are accepted, the Rotzon Lichni Hashem. So here when one recites Shemoneh Esrei and you say the Bracha Ritzei, that converts the Tefillah into a carbon. So it's considered as if we had offered a carbon. But when we daven privately, it's like a carbon yochid. When the Chazan repeats the Shemoneh Esrei and he says Ritzei, so he converts his Tefillah Satzibur into a carbon Sibur. And that works Min HaTorah. When the Chazan says Ritzei, it's considered as if he had converted the Tefillah of Ritzibur into a carbon Sibur. So that's what enables the Kohanim to Duchen Min HaTorah. That's what the Kavanara quotes in the name of the Mishkan Siyankin. He says, and that's why the Gemara says in Saito that the Kohanim who want to Duchen have to start walking up, have to begin to be other Leduchen, at least to begin to take a step or two towards the Duchen in the middle of the Bracha Ritzei. Kol kain she'eino oiker es ragla v'avoidu she'eino oiler Leduchen. If he doesn't stop to go up, start at least to go up during the Bracha Ritzei, that's the Birchas Avoido, he cannot go to Duchen because it's the Bracha Ritzei that converts the tefillah into the carbon sibur and that enables the kohen to do. It's a big chiddush. That's why we say the se'erav to emphasize this notion. Se'erav lachasir aseinu, our prayer should be pleasant to you, oilok a carbon. Our prayer should be accepted as if we offered carbonis. So that's what enables the kohanim to do. We say the se'erav as a piyut in the middle of ritzei. It's the same as ritzei. The word ritzei shan kem amchis all this filos means he should accept our prayers as a carbon, because the word ritzei is always in connection with carbonos. So the serav is just the piyut that spells out, that emphasizes the meaning of the phrase ritzei. These are some of the themes, halachic themes that appear in Parashas Tzav. Okay, mincha today is 1 o'clock in the Big Beis Hamikdash. I want to invite everyone over, whoever has a free time tonight, to come to a chagiga in my home after the reading of the Megillah. Anyone wants to pop over? Anyone not have a place to eat tomorrow? You can come to me, eat the suda that's put in by me. My wife is a good cook.
Doesn't want to shake the lulu. Doesn't want to shake the lulu. Doesn't want to make it up to the outside.
Yeah, that's it.
So the Gemara quotes.